When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, and welcome to the Literati Podcast. I'm Colin, and this is Michael.
Hi, I'm Michael. I'm 5'10 and a half, I have soft hazel eyes, and I'm allergic to the outside of fruit.
Thanks, Michael. Here at Literati, we have a deep and meaningful commitment to helping spread literacy because of a court-ordered community service mandate.
Did you know that it's illegal to blackmail politicians, even if your nude photos of them are actually very flattering? Well, lesson one, it is. Now you know.
Some people are so uptight about nudity, but really, it's the most natural thing there is. You know, it's clothes that are weird. Clothes should be illegal.
Now, you might be saying to yourself,
hey, why do I have to learn to read? I'm already pretty happy at my job where people test out different poisons in my eyeballs.
Well, what if I told you that with the power of reading, you could get a better job?
Oh, maybe a job where people don't test out poison on your eyeballs, but on your genitals instead?
Or even a job as an administrator of a poison testing facility.
All of this is possible if you open your mind and buy our book, How to Write a Book, coming to bookstores oh so soon.
So soon. Just as soon as we write it and sell it.
Just got to get motivated.
But we already have so many great pieces of advice that we want to share with people. And we're going to share a little bit of that with you today. Now, you're going to have to buy the book for the full thing, but we can give you a little bit of a taste. Yeah. Like, for example, when you're at a party and someone comes around with a plate of hors d'oeuvres, it's not a full meal, but you can stick out your tongue and they'll put a little bit of meat on it and you can taste it, and then they put the meat back on the plate for the next person to taste.
Exactly. Just a little meat sample on the tongue.
And sorry, we might be excluding part of the country. That's a very New York reference. So when you're starting out as a writer, approaching a novel can be intimidating. So start small.
Yeah, don't think about everything all at once, okay? Just pick one small thing to start with and focus on it. For example, which letters do you want to use in your book?
Great point, Colin. There are so many letters, and honestly, you can't be expected to master all of them. Here's a secret. Most authors only use 10 to 15 letters max. Only show-offs like Ayn Rand and Dostoevsky use all 26.
Yeah, and Dostoevsky needs to have all those letters just to spell his own dumb name.
Yeah, yeah. That little dumbass piece of shit thinks he's so good, but he's not. Dostoevsky, he's so bad.
Okay, Michael, Michael. Okay, buddy, Michael,
take a breath. Good writer.
Michael, you need to take a breath, okay? Take a deep breath. Take a minute, just a deep breath.
He's the idiot. I'll give him some notes from the underground, but I'll put him underground or something.
All right, Michael, okay.
You got to calm down. Dead in Moscow.
Michael, just take a minute and calm down. Anyway, it's great to start by picking your five favorite letters. That's all you got to do, okay? And there's a lot of good ones to choose from, but we'll give you some of our favorites to get started. For me, it's the letter R. I mean, you can't spell reading without R. Also, my dad's name is Randall, which is why I have such a soft spot in my heart for that letter.
Now, for me personally, I use the letter I a lot because I have many I'm important thoughts and I'm pinions, and I like to express myself to the world, and I want people to look at me. Look at me? Look at me. I.
O is a very powerful and thrifty letter because it's often used twice in a row, like in the famous sentence, "Cool boots, you good foolish goose." Also, O is the number zero.
And finally, I love the letter S because it looks like a snake and you should try to do one thing every day that scares you. But you know what? You've got to go out there and pick your own favorite letters.
We can't tell you which ones to use.
So we're going to jump on to the next piece of advice. This is a popular thing for people who maybe don't have an idea for a story, but they still want to write.
Yeah, you can pluck from your own life. Memoirs are very in right now.
Yeah, okay? Memoirs are big.
But what's the biggest problem with memoirs? You don't want to offend anyone.
No. If you do a scathing tell-all of your life, and that tell-all includes some politicians who maybe got into some compromising positions with or without dungarees on, they might get really mad.
Yeah, and you can't have that. So you want to find a way to write your memoir without stepping on anyone's toes.
So what can you do to prevent your tell-all memoir from destroying relationships? Here are some examples.
This first passage is from my tell-all memoir, Fear and Loathing, in my parents' basement in Ridgefield, Connecticut. My father was a drinker. Every day when the work whistle blew, he'd make his way to O'Neill's Bar on Main quick as he could. Mother would often have to send me to fetch Dad around 10 p.m. That all changed December 12th, 1987. I can't tell you why it all changed. It's not really my story to tell. But if you call my dad at 212-303-5632 and ask real nice, I'm sure he'd tell you.
Now, I have a memoir of a different nature. It's called Michael Wolff Forever a Boy, and it's pretty hot. But I found a way to keep everything in without saying too much, if you know what I mean. Let me read you a selection. I'd been trying to lose my virginity all semester, and tonight it was finally going to happen. Now, I can't tell you who it was going to happen with, but I can tell you a little bit about her. She's an American actress, producer, and former fashion model. She rose to stardom in the 1990s with roles in The Mask, My Best Friend's Wedding, and There's Something About Mary. She's also received 4 Golden Globe Award nominations for her performances in Being John Malkovich, Vanilla Sky, Gangs of New York, and There's Something About Mary. For the latter, she also won the New York Film Critics Best Lead Actress. She was born in San Diego, California. Her mother, Billy, was an import-export agent, and her father, Emilio Diaz, worked for the California oil company Unocol as a foreman. Diaz has an elder sister, Shymeen, who I never got along with, and her father's family is Cuban. And we had sex many times.
See, no one gets hurt.
But you still get turned on.
Yeah. And finally, I have an excerpt from my other tell-all memoir, Gone Boy. My brother was always the fuck-up of the family. But I'm not going to tell you why I feel that way, because it's not my place. Goodbye.
Great. So that's just something to get you started on that memoir kick. Now, unfortunately, we're running out of time because we've got such great authors that we want to bring on. But we want to give you a little bit more of a look into what else is in this book. So we thought we'd just go through some of the chapters. Okay, chapter 1, conflict. You always want as much conflict between your characters as possible.
And I think you don't need any conflict. Why can't all the characters just get along?
Because nothing interesting happens when there's no conflict, you moron.
I think plenty of interesting things happen without conflict, Michael. Your characters could have a picnic or go on a walk or have a nice conversation.
Do they have disagreements or argue in these conversations?
No, they see eye to eye on everything.
That's boring!
That's not boring, it's nice!
And that was an example of characters having conflict. See how exciting a dynamic that was?
Eh, a little too much conflict for me.
Fuck you, Colin. Let's skip to chapter 10, practical tools for writing. Now, we all know about the pen, the computer paper, typewriter paper, but there are also some lesser-known tools for writing. Did you know that you can use monkeys to poke you if you fall asleep? There's obviously drugs, duh.
Cocaine, speed, heroin. A couple backup poking sticks in case the wake-up monkey breaks a few in the heat of frustration trying to wake you up from your drug coma.
Cell phone, with your drug dealer's number on speed dial for when you run out of ideas.
A pet dog for company, since most likely your selfish and solitary lifestyle has made it difficult for you to maintain human relationships.
And second monkey, to make sure the first monkey stays awake.
These are just some useful tools you can use while writing.
We've got another popular chapter, When to Commit Suicide.
Mm-hmm. I say it's right after you publish your first New York Times bestseller.
And I say tonight.
There's chapter 16. Which publishing house throws the best parties? I can't give too much away, but let's just say I lost my virginity to a penguin. I'm winking.
Chapter 11, how to get out of watching Neil Gaiman do magic.
And finally, chapter 22, nonfiction sucks.
So that's just some of the great insight you can learn about reading and writing by reading our book. And also, if you want to, you can help us write it, because we haven't gotten a lot done yet. So if anybody's looking for college credit or an unpaid internship.
Our wake-up monkeys aren't really doing their job.
But you know, that's enough about us, enough people talking about trying to write. Maybe it's time we listen to some writers who have already written.
Yeah. You might say that our guest authors today are out of this world.
And now an excerpt from our tell-all book, Traipsing Through the Void, Our Year in Space,
by Yanis and Pista St. Oberon.
Growing up, my twin brother Yanis and I were never fully aware of the importance of our family lineage, or about what it meant for us to be heirs to the NASA fortune. Our upbringing was so steeped in worldly pleasures and experiences like Buzz Aldrin's meth bacchanals, Sally Ride's softball cookouts, and Chris Hadfield's infinity pool parties that we didn't even know that different, otherworldly pleasures would be waiting for us in space.
By the time we grew into pre/young adulthood, Pista and I realized the full scope of being in the St. Oberon family and the resources we had at our disposal. Ever since a formative childhood experience of chugging bubble bath tonic while we were left unattended at John Glenn's villa, Pista and I have always wanted to throw a series of foam parties on all the moons of Jupiter in hopes of attracting first contact with extraterrestrial life.
And so, at the ripe age of 19, we decided to actualize our dream and program the first manned circuit party in space. We worked closely with the finest aerospace engineers to load 90 tons of party supplies, strobe lights, ketamines, and foam machines into a Rager module on our spacecraft. We were told by dozens of faceless white men in tacky button-downs that we needed to undergo months of astronaut training, but our managers were able to negotiate our training down to a 25-minute seminar where we watched clips from Galaxy Quest.
When Pista and I arrived at Cape Canaveral in the morning of our launch, the paparazzi were out in full force, along with news outlets who had sent out their wolves to hunt. Their droves gathered around the launch site along with cheering fans wielding signs and merchandise that bore our structured and severe likenesses.
From every corner of our smoky eyes, we saw posters saying, NASA is a disgrace, and St. Oberon twins should be ashamed, and other phrases of awe and adoration for our bravery. Even though we overheard news reporters calling the fans protesters and saying that security was a major concern, Yanis and I were so inspired because the whole vibe of everyone shouting and screaming was totally what we were trying to go for on Jupiter's moons.
We don't remember much of the liftoff because Pista and I took a Benadryl after we boarded, but once we woke up, we looked out the window into the vast, glorious expanse of the universe before us and thought, oh, this is almost as good as being on shrooms.
Yanis and I passed the time in the command module by playing Mary Fuck Kill using only guys we've met in Ibiza. And after weeks, we landed on Ganymede, the most rage-friendly Jovian moon, according to NASA's astronomers. We tried to set up shop there by plugging in our foam machine, but it fell through when we couldn't find an outlet anywhere.
Then, literally minutes after we landed, Houston immediately ordered us to reboard our craft since, temperatures were fatally low on the Ganymedean surface.
So that was an epic fail, and morale suffered as a result throughout the rest of the mission. After landing on Europa and Io to no avail, we finally met up with some hot Keplerian aliens from the Corpulu sector of the Andromeda Galaxy, who heard about our party through a flyer we jettisoned from the Rager module days before.
I told you those flyers would pay off.
Yes, God!
We're still not sure if we did full sex stuff with the Keplerian since nothing was penetrative, but the best words I would use to describe the experience would be raw, visual, and aqueous. So it was hot.
We left Callisto, overjoyed that we made contact with aliens, but bummed that we had no proof of it since we shut off all communications with Mission Control during the encounter because they were being lame as shit. The end. Thank you.
So, Yanis and Pista St. Oberon, hi. Thank you for being here. My first question would be, why wasn't I invited?
Because you have to be cute.
You have to be cute, and you have to sign up on the Google form at least 24 hours prior so that the bouncer has your name.
Yeah. It's a really busy party.
But even if I had done the Google form, I probably wouldn't have been allowed on not being cute.
Yeah, no, because anyone can put their name on a Google.
No, that makes sense. Okay.
I don't know, Yanis. Colin's pretty cute. Michael's pretty cute. Invite them.
You do have a little bit of a tight piece, though.
So there's a chance the next time around, Michael and I could get in on one of these circuit parties?
If Pista's there, he loves podcast guys.
I love podcast guys. Yeah.
Don't hold your breath on me coming. I have a pretty full plate, and also I got
badly
burned. My boyfriend,
whenever he holds his breath, he doesn't come. I always just tell him, so he has to breathe.
Okay, well, hold on, Michael. You said that you were badly burned.
We don't need to talk about it. It was just a small explosion where I work.
A small explosion where you work? Do you where do you work?
Well, right now I'm temping at Olive Garden, and I was in charge of what's called the pasta freezer, and it was so cold in there, and I was trying to stay awake, so I turned up the heat. Oh, well, I got locked in there because I had accidentally taken olives home, so I turned up the heat all the way, and apparently the pipes couldn't take it, and they exploded, and I got a fusilli in my face. Is that how you say it?
It's an unpaid internship, right, at Olive Garden right now? Unpaid internship?
It's temping. Yeah.
The temp program at Olive Garden is renowned. But Michael, Michael, Olive Thief, that's what I'll start calling you.
Were you being punished?
It was a disciplinary hearing that definitely happened between me and my family.
I love the litigious nature of our society.
Yeah, well, what am I going to say? You know, I like to stick my fingers in olives. And if that leads to me being punished, so be it.
I don't know. I'm coming around on these guys. They can come to the party next
Michael,
time.
Michael, we gotta go. You gotta,
okay, you know what? I'll see if I can clear stuff up. I am doing voluntary jury duty, but...
We'll send you the Google link.
Michael, if you like to stick your fingers in olives, I have a couple places you can stick your fingers.
Oh, that's awesome. I have run out of places in my home. I've literally put my finger everywhere. I cannot. Oh, that's great. Okay, very cool. I will fill out the Google Doc and we'll find.
Pista's very fluidy. When we were little, he would always be sneezing and coughing, and I was the more drier twin, and Pista was like the more wetter twin. He was really sick as a baby, so now his glands are really liquidy and wet. So he's got a lot of liquidy, olivey, wet places you can stick your fingers, Michael.
I have leakage.
Yeah, he's got leakage. He had to have his gallbladder removed.
That was sad.
Just 2 days ago. Show him your scar.
Here's my gash.
Oh,
put your finger in
Holy
it.
Holy shit, Jesus.
That is going down your entire back.
Good God.
I love it.
He has to carry around a bag when he goes anywhere.
Like a colostomy bag?
Yeah. Well, no, it's a NASA-grade colostomy bag, so it's like it's a little more high-tech.
I thought that was a JanSport.
It's big. It's big, and there's a JanSport logo. This was a partnership deal between NASA and JanSport.
That's smart. That's smart.
Are branching out into branded retail.
Now, I had a question. What was it like growing up as two obviously very distinctly different people, but being twins and being in this, you know, same family, same environment, how did you develop your own distinct personalities?
Well, you know how the Hilton twins, there's like one that's more dry and one that's more wet.
I'm the wet one and Yenis is the dry one.
Right,
like,
of course.
Everyone knows Nikki's really, really wet.
And Paris is really more dry. Yenis is the Paris.
So yeah, so basically, like, when I got older, I was just dry enough to get my own reality show, because you know you can't be wet around the camera.
Oh, it ruins everything.
You'll ruin the camera. Wet. Yeah,
I wasn't allowed anywhere near equipment.
No,
because
she can't be around electronics, so she'll get electrocuted.
Or I'll conduct electricity.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, your clothes keep just slipping right off you right now.
Ooh, and look, my gash is back.
Oh God, Jesus!
There it is.
Oh, but smoke. There's a thick green smoke coming out of it.
Yes. Basically,
I have to turn
from
away
from my fame, from my show.
Yeah.
You had a show?
Mm-hmm. It was
like a reality show?
Yeah.
It was called Design Yenis's Next Astronaut Suit Challenge.
Yeah. Because, you know, being a NASA.
Oh, Design Yenis's Next Astronaut Suit Challenge.
Was it like
I watched all of
that. Oh, it
was
like a Project Runway sort of
reality
show?
Yeah, but more space.
More space
suit? It's on PAX.
Yeah, it's on PAX.
Hey, K-PAX.
Huh? What?
Who's that?
What are you talking about?
It's a Kevin Spacey.
I don't know.
It's about space.
You'd mentioned that
you guys are so random.
You'd mentioned that
we are
honestly,
pretty random.
Podcast guys are so,
so random.
Random,
but I like them.
Yeah, you know,
what's
more your type?
Listen, guys, this is off mic. You're just kind of constantly rubbing each other under the table, and I'm cool with that. But our producer is giving us the
you know, there's
no-no
a study out that says that about 2/3 of all identical twins are homosexuals. Well, we are the exception because we don't identify as homosexual, but we are what I would call label-wise Kepler sexuals after our encounter.
And did you know that during the first few years of Pista's life, they thought he was amphibian?
Oh, because you're wet.
Because he was being so wet and had all these wet holes.
I had wet holes, and I kept dropping pouches of membrane that had tadpoles in it.
Well, and he actually was more comfortable in the water for the first 5 years of his life.
Well, I did read in the beginning of your book, there was a whole chapter about your birth, and Yanis, I heard that you not only kept your placenta, but you swam within it like a small little hot tub.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We set up a little mini whirlpool with all of my mother's placenta. Mm-hmm.
And I came out totally dry.
That's...
It was, I just popped right out, totally dry. And I said, you should get him a show.
So anyway, back to my birth and back to my first few weeks of life.
Did you, you remembered your birth?
Very.
And we vividly remember our birth.
Lucidly.
And Pista, you spoke seconds after being born and about a TV show.
I'm Yanis.
I'm so sorry.
No.
I keep switching seats.
I didn't speak until, you know.
Yanis, let's switch seats again.
Okay.
You guys, we're never good.
No, you know us.
Here.
I didn't speak until about 11, 12 months after my birth, which is normal for a baby. But everyone around me was already planning my fame.
Yeah, but I on the other hand, as soon as I came out of the womb, started listing all the presidents.
Yeah, she was talking and wet.
Yeah,
I was wet. Dry and quiet, like a baby is.
Like an amphibian baby is. I was wet and very, very. I would say. Articulate. Mm-hmm.
But we still loved each other a lot.
Oh, of course. Very clear. Mm-hmm. You're so close. What was it like growing up in a household with so much esteem, with parents who had already accomplished?
As the heirs to the NASA fortune.
Well, lonely. And something that a lot of people don't know is that the St. Oberon family, the patriarch and the matriarch, our parents, there's this theory out there, and it's totally false, that John F. Kennedy just built them out of a mound of flesh and animated them to life. And that is not
true. It's just a theory.
It's a theory.
It's not a thing.
Communism's a theory.
Podcast guys are so random. Well, anyway, John F. Kennedy, we have a lot to thank John F. Kennedy for starting the space program.
Yeah, but definitely not our birth. He was not our dad, and Marilyn Monroe was not our mom.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Why would be crazy to think that they consistently met up at the W Hotel through the years of 1960 to 1962.
The W Hotel in its heyday.
The most
renowned
hotel, yeah.
And, you know, there have been sightings of Marilyn Monroe dropping membranous sacks of tadpoles, but those are false.
Yeah, she wasn't even a whole amphibian. That's a rumor.
She's only part amphibian?
Well,
people want to talk about Marilyn all the time. Let her live in peace. Let her just live in peace.
We killed Marilyn with our comments and our fascination.
Oh, you mean like the world? I thought you meant us. I was like,
no, I meant we, the royal we.
It is pretty hard for celebrities these days. I'd say that they probably have it the hardest of anybody.
Who do you think has the hardest?
Probably reality celebrities.
I'd say reality celebrities. I'd say Anthony Bourdain. Oh. He has a really hard life. To eat all that food all the time? I'm honestly, I have one meal a day.
We don't talk about Anthony Bourdain.
No, oh, yeah. Sorry, did I touch on a nerve?
Are you guys on the same network?
He was supposed to cater our birthday.
And then he backed out at the last minute because he was visiting hole-in-the-wall dumpling restaurants in Denver or something.
He's always doing that.
Typical Bourdain. Isn't that where you guys were catered by Melissa's Cupcakes?
Melissa's Cupcakes, baked by Melissa, came and catered our birthday. We all had tiny, tiny, tiny cupcakes.
Yeah, so small. They're the smallest cupcakes.
Here, I have a trick. You want me to show you? I have a Melissa's Cupcake right here. Where is it going to go? Oh, it fell in my gash.
Oh, God. It melted instantly.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Vaporized.
Did you guys know we're hosting Saturday Night Live?
Tonight?
Musical guest me.
Well, I'm just gonna do one of the host thing, and Peace that's gonna do musical guest.
I'm horny
too.
I have a question for your tell all memoir. Traipsing Through the Void, Our Year in Space. Now, it's a tell-all memoir. Mm-hmm. Michael and I, we have a chapter.
Tell most.
Okay, see, now this is what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. Is there stuff that you leave out so you don't step on anyone's toes when you're doing a tell-all, tell-most memoir?
Well.
So things you can't
say?
We
have a sister that didn't want to be involved.
So how did you work around that? So wait, are you actually identical triplets? And you all went to space and partied?
Legally, we have to call ourselves twins because of the litigation. But our sister...
I'm going to reveal...
Oh, my God.
...what's happened to our sister.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Go, Yannis.
Our sister was born 3 weeks after us. Our mother, Marilyn Monroe... Was pregnant with us as a result of sexual intercourse with John F. Kennedy, the President of the United States. They would get so dirty in the W that they would have a freaky sex, and they would use many oils and lotions and be freaky. And so it would create a freaky babies. And then we got born, and little did Marilyn Monroe know she was still pregnant with like a more baby.
Mm, like and, a remain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the baby was small. And so 3 weeks later, Marilyn, it was like, didn't know I was pregnant. And she was going to the bathroom to do a number two. And she had a baby on the toilet.
And that was our sister.
And that was our sister, Jenna.
Jenna.
So it's Yannis, Pista, and Jenna.
Jenna, NASA.
I'm just sort of doing the math right now, which you guys look very young. But
we're eight.
If Marilyn...
We're only eight.
I thought for a second maybe you guys were like 55 or
something. No, you guys are random.
Okay.
We're eight.
Okay.
Just we're eight.
Okay.
And what? How would you describe Jenna's? I guess what would I say? Moisture Skin? Level.
Moisture.
Oh, I would say that she's somewhere in the middle of.
She's like when you dip a paper towel in water, and then leave it out for at least 10 minutes.
So you know it was wet, but it's also. Kind
but it's
of
on
dry.
Its way to being dry.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when she came out of the womb, she started speaking like. Not super late, but not super early. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Is it easier for one of you to do most of the writing? I'm wondering if you can even hold a pen if you're
I have to do a lot for my show.
Yeah.
So what happens is Pista will dictate
into a dictaphone.
Very turned on.
And can I tell you something? A secret reveal?
Secret.
Please.
Jenna NASA goes by a pseudonym, and everyone knows who she is, and she became a famous
what
actor,
and her name
is Elle Fanning.
Elle Fanning is Jenna. Yes.
That makes
she was
so
in
much
Super
sense.
8.
Super 8, that movie that was kind of based mm-hmm. on our space
on our,
mission.
On our life.
That's incredible. That's yeah, all the pieces are coming together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was an alien.
Except,
there was
except
an
for
alien
the timeline.
Yeah, the timeline yeah. doesn't really
but
make a lot of
that,
sense.
Besides that, all the pieces are coming together.
Jenna, time is a curve. Einstein showed that time is relative and time is
it
on...
It curves to the left.
Well, your time is a little different than our time.
Exactly. And time is what's on... It's called a Euclidean grid. Mm. And so it can be pushed and pulled in all manner of directions in ways that we can't even plot in Cartesian space.
So are you saying that
more
you're...
More like Euclidean grid.
Euclid.
That is very funny.
Oh, man. Between the Euclideans and dictaphones. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we're really... filthy sense of humor. Yeah.
So are you saying
we're
that
kids away.
Your time in space warped the way that you travel
yes.
through space and time?
Well, it warped the way we age.
Well, as we wrote in the book, or as Elle Fanning Ghost wrote for us in the book, we were 19 at the time of the mission.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But then, you know, it moves. Time moves.
Did you guys see Interstellar?
I saw the trailer.
Oh,
and I've seen Matthew McConaughey's abs.
He is so fun at circuit parties.
Yeah,
he'll come in, bring his bongos and his fat ass, He'll dance around. He's so stupid.
I bet you don't know.
He's so stupid. But he's so funny.
Did you meet Matthew McConaughey?
He hosted Saturday Night Live.
I know, yes.
Do you guys like, do you think it's cool how Jay Farrow can just do like anybody?
Isn't it funny though to hear him do someone else who's funny?
No.
No.
Comedy is not about impressions to me. Comedy is about
observation.
Observational.
And smart. It's satire.
Yeah,
I find that the only comedy really worth its weight in salt is just something that's like got a really smart point of view.
I really like comedy. It makes you think.
Yeah, grounded stuff.
I like to really think about something new.
My favorite work ever is The Confederacy of Dunces, which is just a really layered, it juggles so many narratives.
Yeah.
And Pista really
and I have studied commedia in
Commedia dell'arte?
Commedia dell'arte. No, Commedia dell'arte. We studied the work of being the clown. And
I've listened to Lana Del Rey.
Oh my god, podcast guys is so random.
Just a quick follow-up. What is a circuit party?
A circuit party, by definition, is a large dance event. It extends through the night and into the following day, almost always with a number of affiliated events in the days leading up to and following the main event.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that sounds like my bar mitzvah.
My brain is a little bit of a dictionary. If you ever want to know what anything is or means, just ask me.
Oh, yeah, that was like a word-for-word definition. That was incredible.
Yeah, ask me what something else is.
Could you explain to me like the just fundamental tenets of like quantum theory?
Quantum theory?
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely
I mean, like, I know it's a larger school of thought.
So quantum theory is the theoretical basis of modern physics that explains the nature and behavior of matter and the energy on the atomic and subatomic level. The nature of behavior of matter and energy at that level is sometimes referred to as quantum physics and quantum mechanics.
Okay, yeah, that
wow,
makes sense.
Yeah. It's so easy for me to just know stuff.
You have like a photographic memory.
Yeah,
I think it would be remiss of us to have you on and not talk about outer space. I mean, I've never met anybody who's been to space before.
That would be remiss.
My whole life, I've looked up at the stars and says and
said like yes,
yes. And what lies beyond? And what else is out there? And just
on every star, there's a hot group of people.
On every star,
I thought that
every
star
is a hot group of friends,
like a bunch of people, but then like one group that's very popular.
There's like a lot of people on the planet, and then there's like one hot group of friends, and that's what lights up the star.
The star.
The power of their hot friendship.
Yeah.
Who would you say you are in Clueless?
In Clueless?
We're both Amber.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Why do you ask that?
Period. That's such a simple answer. I can't expand on that.
You random podcast guy.
I guess that's just sort of how my brain works. It just sort of bips and bops around.
Like our sun, like if you want to think of our sun as a star, like I feel like that group of friends is the cast of Cheers.
Mm.
And all of their star power. Mm. They all started off basically nobodies. And then they became huge stars afterwards.
And still are.
And still
I'd say that's the most relevant, cutting edge
Our godmother
group
is Kirstie Alley.
Mm-hmm.
She's our godmother.
That's incredible. She's had a tough couple of years, but it seems like she's kind of leveled back out.
No, she hasn't. No.
So... So your mother was
Marilyn Monroe.
And Kirstie Alley is your godmother.
They were very close. Oh,
this is like
really close.
It's like a who's
so
who.
Your godmother was like born after
Time
you
is
were?
Different for us.
I keep forgetting.
I do want to say that you do have three children here with you who you keep stopping
there
the breastfeeding.
Okay, come up. Come sit on daddy's lap.
Come on, sit on daddy's lap.
Okay, well, introduce yourself.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Michael.
Hi, Michael. That's my name, too. That's a beautiful name.
Hello, my name is Katharina.
Hi, Katharina. Please don't suck on the mic.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
I sometimes suck on a mic. Whenever I see a mic, I suck on it, and then people tell me not to do that, and I don't do it anymore.
Very common error.
Now that you tell me not to suck on the mic, I will not do it again.
Katharina.
What, Daddy?
Katharina, Michael is really uncomfortable with you sucking on the mic.
Michael,
both Michaels.
Michael is, has something to tell you, and it involves who he is inside.
Okay, Daddy.
You can tell us anything.
Okay, Daddy. Well, lately I've been battling a lot of inner...
Spit it out, Michael!
I've been battling a lot of inner demons.
Yeah, we really don't have a lot of time, Michael. Please,
okay,
spit it out.
You know what?
Yeah, let's hurry up. This is also, there's another kid we have to introduce.
And, we try to keep the podcast pretty tight and focused.
Okay. I'm Brendan. I'll just sit over here and wait.
Brendan, wait.
Thank you, Brendan.
No, it's fine. Forget it.
This is my... This is
oh,
my
God. This is so my dramatic.
Moment. I identify as a homeopath. I
that is not true. It's something else.
I drink a lot of herbal teas that I think will cure my cancer.
Well, you have a crystal around your neck.
Mm-hmm. You have cancer.
No, I'm saying if I were to have cancer, it would cure it.
This is crazy. He's not telling you the truth.
Brendan, get over here. Daddy
oh
wants to talk
God.
To you.
What?
Brendan, you...
What?
Just, I don't like
Brendan,
this attitude.
Could you keep
drop
your
the attitude.
Feet off the ottoman? It's okay if you sit
Shut
over there, but
up.
Please.
I don't even know who you are.
This is
I'm
my
weird
podcast
guy.
Okay,
honestly.
Guys,
drag me here.
Yenis Pista,
I'm respectful.
I'm not. I do not want to tell you how to parent, but
I'm
Brendan
sorry.
Cannot talk to me that way.
Okay, well, tell honestly, Brendan, you gotta stop.
Homo.
What?
Whoa.
Hey, stop. Hey, this we do not disgusting. Allow that kind of.
What? You are.
That's not
I guess
true.
This is what
this
you
is
get when you
absolutely have. Disgusting. I want to talk on this mic if we can't talk like adults.
Michael is
that's very. That's actually very mature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My son Michael is in the corner talking to his crystal, so he's very uncomfortable.
What I find interesting is that some of your children are older than you.
Well,
time does work differently.
Different for us.
When you've been to space and you've gone that close to the continuum.
I'm 40 years old, okay? I was born 50 years old. Explain to me this. How is it I was born at 50 years
like
old? Now I'm 40 years old.
Like then
they took me to space,
sort of
and now it's a thing? I don't understand.
You're also soaking wet.
I can't understand.
Catherine is mine.
Sometimes I wake up, I be totally dry. Sometimes I wake up, I be wet. I think to myself, did I have a scary dream?
Sweat the bed.
Then it's just because of my skin. It's because I'm a little bit of an amphibian.
Catherine, I think you want to show everybody a part of your body.
My gosh?
Yes.
Here's my gosh.
God. Oh, dear God.
I know it's
disgusting. It's got that looks like a mouth.
It is a mouth.
It's got teeth.
It is a mouth. I can eat with it. Look.
You can eat.
Oh, not the mic. Not the mic.
Wow. He just ate a whole foot-long sandwich with his gash.
Oh, my God. You guys are so gay.
Brendan. This is unacceptable. He's your kid. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for coming
thank
on.
Thank you a lot. Thank you
I
a
really
lot.
Think that our listeners who listen to this podcast to get insider tips and tricks and writing are really going
We're
to...
good writers. Very good.
Clearly. Maybe we just end
we use
with...
big words like aqueous. Mm-hmm.
Could we maybe just end if you want to leave us with a favorite sentence of yours that you've written or a phrase or a quote?
Help. Help. My sack just dropped.
And I'll go now. This is the most important sentence I've ever said. I have Lyme disease.
Oh my God! You guys are so fucking gay.
Hey, don't, Brendan, stay away from that plug. Do not unplug that.
This is horrible. How we all sitting here, everyone's speaking to each other, and no one's eating a mic. I want to eat this.
Do you guys want some echinacea,
Michael?
Oh, Jesus Christ!
You were not being honest about what's the problem with you.
I'm a homeopath.
Oy, oy, oy.
Anyway, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for being here and bringing all your children.
Get that mic out of your mouth. Oh my God. There's a human crawling out of your gash.
Oh my God, look at this gash.
It's sucking me in. It's sucking in your gash. Wow, what a great conversation. You know, it's always fun to talk with fellow writers and people who have accomplished so much.
Yeah. You could even say that our guest authors this afternoon were out of this world.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Because they went to space.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That's it for us this week at Literati. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Michael.
And I've been Colin.
And don't forget...
To read.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.